We're going to be looking at a story in Acts and looking at some insight on this story in 2 Timothy 1. As you come to Acts 16, this is Paul's second missionary journey. And he's going with Silas to a place called Derbe and Lystra. And so let's begin reading in verse 1. And we're going to read through verse 3 here in Acts 16. And I want you to stand. I know y'all been sitting for just a little bit. So let's just stand for a moment in honor of the reading of the Word of God. In Acts 16, 1, it says, "Then came he to Derbe and Lystra, and behold, a certain disciple was there, named Timotheus, the son of a certain woman, which was a Jewess, and believed, but his father was a Greek, which was well reported of by the brethren that were at Lystra and Iconium. Him would Paul have to go forth with him, and took and circumcised him because of the Jews which were in those quarters, for they knew all that his father was a Greek." So now we're going to go to 2 Timothy 1 and 2 Timothy chapter 1. And I want to read beginning in verse 2 through verse 5. Paul writes this to this Timotheus that we read about in Acts 16. He says to Timothy, "My dearly beloved son, grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Lord. I thank God, whom I serve for my forefathers with pure conscience, that without ceasing I have remembrance of thee in my prayers day and night, greatly desiring to see thee, being mindful of thy tears, that I may be filled with joy when I call to remembrance the unfeigned faith that is in thee, which dwelt first in thy grandmother Lois and in thy mother Eunice, and I am persuaded that is in thee also." Let's pray. Father, we want to thank you so much for your presence with us today. Lord, thank you for being a faithful God. Your faithfulness, how great it is. You're faithful to your promises, your word. You're faithful to give us exactly what we need on this day that we've gathered in your house. I'm thankful that you know each person here. You know the needs of every heart. You know where there's burdens, sorrows, grief, joy, happiness. You know, Lord, and you know our need today. And I pray, dear God, that you would meet every spiritual need that's represented here today. Lord, I pray that as your word goes forth, your Holy Spirit would apply it to each and every heart, that we would see Jesus for who he is. That we would see Jesus as the mighty Savior, the one who's mighty to save, the one who's worthy of our lives. And Father, we thank you for the Warren family, and we thank you for those songs that we heard. We thank you for heaven. Oh, what a blessing that we as the children of God, we who know Jesus, have that promise of heaven. That promise of seeing our loved ones that have gone on before us. Oh, Lord, we thank you for that. Thank you for the message of that song. Thank you for the message that you've given in your word today. We ask you to use it all to your honor and glory. For it's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen. You may be seated. We've been learning here as we've gone through the book of Acts that I want to just share three things that we've been learning over the past few weeks, past month or so, as we study the book of Acts, that our calling is to be disciples of Jesus. That's our calling. He calls us, come and follow me. And if you know Christ as your Savior, that's your calling, to be a follower, a disciple of Jesus. Our mission, we've learned, is to make disciples. That's our mission as a church. That's our mission as individual members of this church, is to make disciples of Jesus. And our goal as disciples is to be like Jesus. That's the goal, to be like Jesus, to grow in intimacy with Christ and to become more and more like Jesus so we can be a witness for Christ. Now, I want to just say that, this being Mother's Day, that making disciples is not limited to men. It's not limited to pastors. It's not limited to evangelists. It's not limited to missionaries. It's for all of us. It's a calling that we all are to be involved in. And women who are believers in Christ are to make disciples. They're to be disciples and make disciples. And I want to say that mothers, more importantly, they have one of the greatest opportunities to make disciples of their children. A great, great opportunity. Mothers have such a tremendous, tremendous influence on their children. You have an opportunity to influence your children for Christ, and as well as grandmothers that are here. In our text, we read in Acts chapter 16 a story about a certain disciple. His name was Timotheus, or Timothy. He was a follower of Christ. And it tells us there in Acts 16 that his mother was a Jew and a believer in Christ. But his father was a Greek and an unbeliever. And so he grew up in a home where daddy was not a believer. And most of the Greeks were either pagans or they didn't even believe in God. But most of them, they believed in many gods, and they were idolaters, and they worshiped many gods. And so just imagine his home. He had a daddy that was did not know Christ. He had a daddy that was a pagan, but his mother was a believer. And Timothy, according to verse 2 in Acts 16, he had a testimony as a disciple. He was well spoken of by the brethren, it says. Well reported of. And this speaks of a testimony. He had a good testimony among the brethren that were in Lystra and Derbe. Now, I want to just say that in Paul's first missionary journey, you can read about it in Acts 14, that Paul went to these cities. He went to Iconium. He went to Antioch and Pisidia. He went to Lystra. He went to Derbe. When he was in Lystra, according to Acts 14, when he went there, there was a man that they healed. And all of a sudden, the people there, they thought that Paul and Barnabas were gods that came down. And they even had names for them. And they ran and surrounded Paul and Barnabas and began to worship these men. And of course, Paul had to correct them and say that we just be men. And it says they preached the gospel to them there. But what happened there in Lystra was tragic because of their testimony for Christ and because they had formerly preached in Antioch and Iconium. Well, some of the Jews in those cities came to Lystra and stirred up trouble. And it ended up that Paul was stoned outside the city. He was stoned and left for dead. That's in Timothy's town. He was left there for dead. And it says the disciples were standing around him, and Paul got up. Isn't that amazing? I mean, usually when you get stoned, you die. But he got up and wiped off his blood And they went on to the city nearby. And what's crazy is, it says after that, they went back to Lystra, went back to Derbe, and it says they preached the gospel. They preached the gospel in these cities. And it says, and they taught many people. That's in Acts 14:21. And when they preached the gospel, they were evangelizing. They were sharing Christ with this pagan city. These pagans that were worshiping these idols and these gods. And there were people that were saved there because it says they taught many. And that verb there means that they made disciples of many. It's a Greek word, methuetes, which means to teach and instruct and train for the purpose of making a disciple or becoming a disciple. And so they had people that come to Christ and they began discipling people, but they had to quickly leave this city because of persecution. So I just want to kind of give you a background there. And so what we find when we come to our text, Paul comes back some years later on his second missionary journey to check on these churches that he had started. And when he comes to Lystra, there was a certain disciple there, Timotheus. And the scripture in this verse does not really tell us, but and I think some of the other scriptures, when we look in the New Testament, we look at how Paul speaks of Timothy as his beloved son in the faith. It's very possible that Timothy was saved under Paul's ministry on his first missionary journey. I can't be certain of that, but it's highly possible that he was saved under Paul's ministry. But what I want you to notice, though, is that if that was the case, that in the meantime, he was being discipled because he now is growing in Christ and he has a testimony. He's being well reported by the brethren. And so when Paul saw him, it says in verse 3 that he would have him to go forth with him. In other words, he wanted Timothy to accompany him and Silas on their missionary journey. So he took him along with him, began to mentor Timothy and to train and teach Timothy. Now, Timothy at this time, I want to just say that he was no older than maybe late teens, early 20s. And how do I know that? Well, in his letters to Timothy, 1 and 2 Timothy, he said, "Let no man despise thy youth." I think it's in 1 Timothy 4. Paul said, "Let no man despise thy youth." So years later, Timothy is still considered young. He was a young man at this time. And Timothy is mentioned in, if you look at the rest of the story about Timothy in the New Testament, he's mentioned 28 times in Paul's letters and in the book of Acts. He co-labored beside Paul. Later, Timothy became the first pastor at the church at Ephesus. He was a pastor. And he was also a co-sender of 6 of Paul's letters. 6 of his letters, he said, when Paul writes the letter, he's writing, you know, this is Paul, from Paul the Apostle and from Timothy. And so he mentions Timothy in 6 of his letters as a co-author or writer. So what an amazing testimony of this man, Timothy. But I want to ask this question. How did Timothy become a disciple with such maturity and such desire and such hunger for Christ when Paul came along in Acts 16 and saw him in the church there? Because Paul wasn't there from the time he first preached and the time he comes here. How did Timothy have this passion for Christ that Paul looked and saw this man as discipleship material and said, "Timothy, I want you to come with us. I want to train you to follow Christ"? Well, I believe 2 Timothy gives us some clues. And so we're going to go to 2 Timothy now. In 2 Timothy, I don't know how many years later it would have been, but Paul is writing toward the end of his life. This is one of Paul's last letters that he wrote before he was beheaded for the sake of Christ. He was martyred for the sake of Christ. And he writes this letter to Timothy, who was a pastor at the church of Ephesus. He was a young pastor. He was going through some difficult struggles in the ministry. And so Paul, as his father in the ministry, is writing this letter to encourage him in the faith. And he's telling Timothy in these verses that we read, and you know that, Timothy, I want you to know that I'm praying for you. He said, I remember you in my prayers day and night. I mean, how encouraging would that be for a young pastor to have their mentor say, listen, I'm praying for you day and night. I mean, how much does it encourage you when someone tells you, I'm praying for you, and they really mean it? You know, it's so encouraging. And he goes on and he talks about how he thanks God for Timothy. And he greatly desires to see Timothy. And it says, being mindful of thy tears, that I may be filled with joy. Now notice, when I call to remembrance the unfeigned faith that is in thee. He told Timothy, Timothy, I remember your unfeigned faith. Now that's not a word that's very common today, is it? Unfeigned. It means without hypocrisy. Unfeigned means that he had a real, genuine faith. He was not a pretender. He was a contender of the faith. He was real. It was genuine. He said, Timothy, I'm persuaded that a sincere, genuine faith dwells in you. So trust in the Lord to help you through these trials. Keep your faith in the Lord as you go through these trials as a pastor. I want to say something just about this real quick before we move on with this story. The Word of God places tremendous importance upon faith. By grace are you saved through faith. And that not of yourselves, it's the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Salvation in Christ is by faith. It's not by works. It's not by anything that we do. It's by God's grace. You know, I love that first song they sang about grace. You know, that grace is just pouring down from Calvary. And thank God for His grace. You know, I look at my life and, you know, before I got saved, yeah, I was pretty much a rascal. I was a sinner, just like all of us are. I was a sinful person. I may not have done some really bad things, but I was a sinner in heart. I was a sinner and rebellious against God. And it was grace that saved me. God's grace that poured out on Calvary that saved me. I'm so thankful for God's grace. I'm so thankful that salvation is by grace through faith. It's a gift of God. It's not of works. It's something we receive by faith. And I just want to say, whoever you are here today, listen, this is the most important thing, is for you to have an unfeigned faith in Jesus Christ. Do you know Christ this morning as your Savior? Do you have Him as your Lord and your Savior? Have you received eternal life from Jesus Christ? Is your life a changed life, a transformed life? Have you experienced the grace and love of Jesus Christ? This is so important. And I wanted to say that there's no other way to please God but by faith. Hebrews 11:6 tells us that. For it is impossible to please God except by faith. We can't please God without faith. Paul said in Romans 14:23, whatsoever not of faith is sin. We're to walk by faith. We're to live by faith. Faith is how we overcome the world. And when you look at this letter of Paul that he wrote to Timothy, when you come to chapter 3, he talks about in the last days, he said, there's going to be perilous times. We're living in perilous times. Would you agree with me? These are some pretty perilous times. I mean, I don't know if you're awake or not. I'm not saying just awake here in church listening to this message, but are you awake with what's going on? I mean, there's a lot of things going on. It's perilous times, and just like the Bible prophesied, How are we going to get through these perilous times? We're living in times where Paul said in chapter 3, verse 8, that there are many that resist the truth, men of corrupt minds, reprobate concerning the faith. How desperate we need men, women, young people with faith, an unfeigned faith in Jesus Christ. You know, sadly, Jesus asked a rhetorical question in Luke 18, verse 8. He said, "Nevertheless, when the Son of Man cometh, shall he find faith on earth?" I think that what he's trying to indicate is that there's going to be very little exercising faith when he comes. There's going to be apostasy. There's going to be people that are unbelievable. We're living in perilous times. What I'm saying is that we need to be people of faith. But as the Apostle Paul was focused on Timothy's unfeigned faith, he proceeds to say this. Let's go back to that, verse 5 in chapter 1. "When I call remembrance the unfeigned faith that is in thee..." Now I want you to notice this next statement. "Which dwelt first in thy grandmother Lois and thy mother Eunice." Isn't that interesting? It was first in his grandmother and in his mother. What we see is a faith of three generations here. And I'm thankful that I'm a third generation believer. I shared with early in part of the service that my grandmother, she was a follower of Christ. She loved Christ. She had prayer meetings in her home. She was served in this church. And then my mother, and then now me. I'm a third generation Christian. I thank God for my grandmother. I thank God for my mother. These women of faith who served God faithfully in this church, who were women who prayed. I'm thankful to have a godly heritage like Timothy had. But it says this unfeigned faith that dwelt, it began in his grandmother Lois. She lived out her faith, and she passed down her faith to her daughter Eunice, who then in turn passed down her faith to Timothy, her son. We must never underestimate the influence of a mother. And I was reading a story about one of the famous preachers in Britain. His name is G. Campbell Morgan. He's got books and commentaries, and I've read some of his stuff. And all four of his sons became pastors. One day, one of his sons, Howard, was preaching. And after the service, there was a reporter that came to him and asked him, "Since you have five pastors in your family, who is the greatest preacher?" Now, this reporter was expecting him to say, "My father." But you know what Howard said? "My mother." I mean, he was serious. You know, some people don't realize a mother's love and concern and teaching are often more influential on their children than anyone else. It was his mother, he said, that was the greatest preacher. It was his mother that was his mentor and discipled him. It was his mother that made him a preacher. Three things quickly I want you to see about this grandmother and this mother. Her faith was sincere. As it says, an unfeigned faith. Eunice had a real, genuine faith. Does this mean that Eunice was a perfect mom? I don't think so. In her teen years, she must have become attracted to this man, or this boy, who was a Greek, who was not a believer, who was not a Jew. And knowing Jewish history and knowing what the Bible teaches in the Old Testament, she must have had a rebellious streak in her. Even though her mother was a godly mother and raised her right, Eunice had a rebellious streak and she fell in love with this man who the Bible says was a Greek. He was not a believer, a heathen idol worshiper. But what's interesting, she didn't forsake her roots. At some point in time, the story doesn't tell us, but maybe when they had Timothy, she began to think about how important it was to pass her faith down to her son. So even though she married outside of the faith, so to speak, at some point in time in her life, she saw the seriousness of training up her child in the way that he should go. Even though she didn't have a husband that was a spiritual leader in the home, she raised Timothy to love and to fear God. That's what I love about this story, because it applies so much to our day. We have so many moms that don't have a husband that is standing with them to try to spiritually train up their children in the way they should go. There are some that are single mothers. There are some that have unbelieving husbands. There are some that have believing husbands that are not serving the Lord, that are not serious about the Lord, that are just floating out there. But the mom, she wants the children to know God. She wants the children to love God. That's this mother here. That's what I love about this story, that her, along with her mother, Timothy's grandmother, they teamed up and they invested time in Timothy. I want you to look in chapter 3 again, in 2 Timothy, in chapter 3. I want you to look at the beginning in verse 14. It says, "But continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of, knowing whom thou hast learned them." Knowing of whom. It wasn't just Paul speaking of himself here, but Timothy also learned of his mother. He learned of his grandmother. Because look at the next verse. "And that from a child thou hast known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus." So he tells Timothy, remember of whom you have been taught and learned, and continue in those things. Knowing that from a child you've known the Holy Scriptures. So what's cool here is that this verse tells us that Timothy's mother and his grandmother, they invested time in him in teaching him the Scriptures. Getting him involved in knowing the Word of God. Getting him involved in memorizing Scripture. I want you to know that this was the foundation that they gave Timothy, the foundation to believe Christ when the gospel was preached. They laid the foundation, made him wise unto salvation by teaching him the Scriptures from a child. So the time came, Paul preached the gospel, I'm assuming, and Timothy came to faith in Christ. All because of his mother and grandmother invested in him. All because they prayed for him. All because they taught him the Scripture. And it could be, I could be wrong, we'll find out in heaven. It could be that it's mother led him to Christ. It could have been that his grandmother led him to Christ. But I do know this, that they spent time getting him rooted in the Word of God. And we need mothers and grandmothers like this today. Mothers and grandmothers that will read Bible stories to their children, that will spend time teaching their children the Bible, that will spend time teaching their children to memorize Scripture. Moms, are you teaching your children the Scriptures? Listen, we're not talking about the church. I believe that the church has a part in helping the family. The church has a part in assisting mom and dad. I believe that. But mom and dad, you have to do your part. You have to, day in and day out, teach your kids the scriptures. Give them the foundation so when they come to church, they continue to grow and go forth from there. It takes a sincere faith to raise up a child in the way he should go. So moms, do you have a sincere faith? Do you have an unfeigned faith that you can pass on to your children? Are you in the Lord? Now notice the second truth. Her faith was not only sincere, it was seen. Because I want you to notice something back in verse 5. He said, which dwelt first in thy grandmother Lois and thy mother Eunice. So it dwelt in them. And then as we saw in chapter 14, but continue thou the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them. Their faith was seen. It dwelt in them as a living principle. It was not just something that they talked about. It was something that they lived in their lives. Eunice lived for Christ. She walked. You know, remember James said faith without works is dead. You know, we're not saved by works, but we're saved by faith that works. If your faith doesn't change your life, you probably don't have saving faith. You probably don't have an unfeigned faith. There are a lot of people that have a feigned faith. They feign it. It's hypocritical. They don't have any change in their life. They don't have any desire for following Christ. You better check your faith. Make sure you have a sincere faith. And if you have a sincere faith, let me guarantee you, it's going to be seen. People are going to see your faith by your works, by your love for Christ. And so Timothy could look at his mother and see that her faith, he could look at his mother and see the Bible was true because his mother lived it. She not only believed it, but she walked it. Do your kids see you, Mom, seeking God's word on a daily basis? Do your kids see you praying at home? I'm not talking about just over the meals, but do they see you daily walking with Christ? Do they see you getting up early and spending time with Jesus? Do they ever wake up and stumble into your prayer closet and you're in there praying? Those are things that your kids should see. They should see your faith. When you come to church, listen, do your kids see you disinterested in church? Do your kids see you just sitting in church and scribbling notes and scrolling on your phone? Or do they see you intensively involved in church and you've got your pen, you're taking notes, and you're listening to the message? And you're taking those things, you're going home and talking to them about it. Do they see your faith? Listen, we are influencing our kids whether we realize it or not. They're seeing our lives. If we come to church and we're just sitting here, if we come to church and we're not singing and worshiping, our kids are watching it. They're seeing every bit of our actions, and we can go home and say, you need to live for Jesus, you need to read your Bible, you need to pray. But if you're not doing it, don't expect your kids to do it. This faith dwelt in Eunice. This faith was part of her life. I love this quote. Mothers are the first book read and the last book put aside in every child's library. Wow, what a tremendous influence, mothers, you have. You know, there was a pastor talking to a man that wanted to join a church, and he said, well, what was it that I said that caused you to join our church? And this man said, it wasn't nothing you said. And he said this. He said, it was the way my mother lived. It was the way my mother lived. That's why he wanted to join the church. He could see his mother's faith. But thirdly, her faith was shared. Timothy's mother and grandmother, they shared their faith. We looked at that in 2 Timothy 3, 14 and 15. They, They shared the Word of God with him. They shared their faith with him. I believe that because they shared it with Timothy, that it provided a foundation for him to be that certain disciple who was well spoken of and reported of by the brethren, that when Paul came along, he said, "I want you, Timothy. I want you to come with us." God's got a mission. You know, studies show that a mother's influence is greater than the father's. I read a story that a missionary put it this way: to make a sound convert of a Hindu, you have to convert his grandmother. This tells you about the influence that mothers and grandmothers have. You know, it's wonderful to see a mother and a grandmother that's more concerned about their children's souls than they are about their careers. More concerned about their eternal life than their success in life. More concerned about their relationship with Jesus than their popularity at school. More concerned about their standing before God than their standing in their social status. More concerned about their spirituality than their intellectual, musical, athletic accomplishments. We need mothers like that. We need grandmothers. You know, there's something I want to challenge mothers today. I want to give you something practical. I mean, you know, I can preach and preach and preach. People's heart can be stirred. But I want to give you something practical, moms and grandmothers. This is something I want to challenge you to do. Sit down sometime and write out a letter to your kids. And tell your kids about your salvation story in that letter. And also tell them why you love Jesus and why you want them to walk with Jesus and serve him. Write it out and give it to them. You know, when I was a pastor in Dalhart years ago, my first church that I pastored, there was a lady there named Sandy Perkins that died of cancer. And before she died, though, she wrote a letter to her kids. And she wrote out her testimony, and she wrote out a statement of faith. This is just an ordinary woman that was our piano player and a Sunday school teacher, a nursery worker. But she wrote out, and she gave me a copy. And she gave all of her children a copy. And it's tremendous, because she went home to be with the Lord. And her children have that to this day, that they can look at this and read their mama's testimony and read what their mama believed about Jesus. So mamas, grandmas, write a letter to your children, your grandchildren. And then I want to encourage everyone else, write a letter to your mother. If your mother's still living, write a letter to your mother and tell her how much you thank her, or how you're thankful for her for raising you. Write a letter to her. It means so much to her. You know, I believe one of the most rewarding jobs in the world is a mother raising her children in the fear of God. You know, our society looks down on moms like that, that would stay at home and raise their kids. And I know, I realize it may not be possible for some mothers to stay at home. But raise your kids in the fear of the Lord. There's such great reward in that. I can just sense that Lois and Eunice, the joy that they had as they watched Timothy just blossom and develop in his walk with Christ. Just see Timothy being used of the Lord to go with Paul and preach the gospel and all over the Roman Empire, and seeing people come to Christ and seeing churches organized, and then seeing Timothy as a pastor of a church. I'm sure that she had such great joy and great reward in seeing Timothy's life. 3 John 4 says this: "I have no greater joy than to hear that my children walk in truth. I don't know about you, but that's my desire as a parent. For my kids and my grandkids, it has never changed. I still pray that often for my kids. I want my kids. There's nothing that would give me greater joy than to see them walk in the truth, or walk in Christ. Let me ask you this morning, do you possess a faith that is sincere, a faith that is real? Do you have a real faith in Jesus? Do you know Jesus is your Lord and Savior this morning? And can your faith be seen? Can your children, your grandchildren, can your husband, your wife, can your family, can your church members, can they see your faith? Can they see your passion for Jesus? And is your faith being shared? Are you sharing? Are you passing it on to your children? Are you passing it on to others, your co-workers, to your friends? Are you sharing your faith? You see, this applies not just to moms, not just to grandmothers. It applies to every one of us. We can learn from these mothers to have a real faith, a faith that's seen and a faith that's shared. I want you to stand with me. We're going to bow our heads for prayer. Father God, we come to you so thankful for the testimony of these two mothers and the testimony of their son, Timothy. Lord, how he became a mighty warrior for Christ. Wow, I mean, to see this young man live his life for Christ, of being a disciple and making disciples and growing to become more like Christ. What a powerful testimony of a mother's influence, a mother discipling her son, investing and teaching her son to make him a follower of Christ. What an amazing goal that would be. Sadly, many Christian mothers today, they work so hard to make their kids a successful athlete, work so hard to make their kids successful in academics. There's nothing wrong with those things, but it just seems like it takes all priority over making them a follower of Jesus, which is so much more important. Lord, I pray you challenge the hearts of our mothers and grandmothers. And Lord, we're thankful for those that are here that are doing these things. We have mothers here that are investing in their kids and teaching their kids the Word of God. We have grandmothers here that are pouring into their grandchildren's lives and praying for them. And Lord, I'm so thankful for the godly mothers and grandmothers that we have here, that mothers like Eunice and grandmothers like Lois. Lord, we have those here and we're so thankful for that. I pray that each mother here would have this same desire to be a godly mother, pass her faith down, to have an unfeigned faith, pass it down to her children. Dear God, I just want to pray that maybe someone here that's not a mother or a grandmother, someone might be a dad, they might be a teenager, might be a young kid, might be someone who's elderly, someone who's single, someone who's divorced. I don't know, Lord, but I pray, Lord, if there's someone here that does not know Christ, that does not have salvation, Lord, I pray today the Holy Spirit would work in their hearts. I pray today that they take that step to come forward, to come and receive Christ as their Savior today, to call on the name of the Lord for salvation. What a great day that would be. What a great gift that would be to receive eternal life. God, I pray that for our fathers that are here today, Lord, that they'd be the spiritual leaders they need to be to encourage their wives to be the mothers that they can be for you. Lord, it's all of us working, praying together, encouraging, exhorting one another. God, help us. I pray in the name of Jesus. Amen.